That's what I want. And if I were a politician, that's what I would be mostly concerned with. Money. It is Nicole Sandler back with you at Air America Radio, streaming live at airamerica.com. Listen, this is an open exchange of ideas and opinions here, so anytime it moves you, pick up the phone and participate, 866-303-2270. But this hour, yeah, we're talking about money, and not just any money, but the way money is so integral to our election system here in this country. And that's what makes it so broken, in my view. If you've heard my show, either here at Air America or my podcast at RadioOrNot.com, you know that my biggest pet issue is campaign finance reform, because I really believe that until we get money out of the process, we're never going to fix the problems here. And I also believe that the money, the lobbyists, the monetary influence over our elected officials was one of the big reasons we are in the financial straits we're in right now. And to drive that message home and to tell you what we can do about it, I'm joined right now by Dan Weeks. He is president of Americans for Campaign Reform. You can find them online at ustreet.org. That's youstreet.org. Dan Weeks, thank you for joining me today on Air America.
Thank you for having me, Nicole. Great to be here.
Well, thanks. I think you and I spoke once before when I was doing a morning show here in Miami, and your organization was known as JustSixDollars.org. Was that what it was called before?
That's right.
And I found you just doing a search online and looking for people who felt the way I did. And the reason it was just $6 is because that's what your organization has figured that's what it would cost each person to have public financing of elections? Do I have that right?
That's right. That is what it would cost each citizen each year to take big money entirely out of politics and have a system where the politicians are literally owned by all of us, by we the people, through a public funding system, which has just been introduced in Congress. But maybe if I could just take a step back, as you said in opening this hour, we care about campaign finance reform, but really it comes down to a lot more than money in politics. As you've talked about a lot on this show and on others, we've got some pretty enormous challenges that we're facing. The worst economic crisis in as long as anybody can remember, total failure on environmental policy and national energy policy, healthcare, you know, the list goes on and on. But when you go down into each of these issues, you find that it's not because we don't have good ideas out there. It's not because there aren't smart people with good ideas. It's not because there aren't even public servants, elected officials who want to do the right thing. But the amount of time they're spending today, many of them tell us it's a quarter or a third of their working hours just to raise money for reelection. And the place where that money is coming from, it's not coming by and large from folks like you or me or listeners on this show. It's coming from a very small portion of the public who have a deep vested interest in these policies. It's coming from lobbyists and interest groups in Washington, whose interest isn't necessarily the public interest. Mm-hmm. So as you said, we're doing this not just because of campaign finance reform. We're doing it because we've got a system which just doesn't allow good policies to win. It's based on money.
Well, I agree with you. Dan Weeks, president of Americans for Campaign Reform. What you said about our elected officials, first of all, members of Congress have to run every 2 years, members of the House of Representatives. So they're constantly in fundraising mode. And for a first-time person, there's a guy down here in Miami, somebody I've known for a long time named Joe Garcia, and he was a really good challenger to the incumbent for this congressional district, Mario Diaz-Balart. Joe Garcia should have won. And I spoke to him numerous times during the campaign, and I'll tell you, he was frustrated because he wanted to be out talking to the people, walking neighborhoods, finding out what their concerns were, but most of his time was spent on the phone trying to raise money. That's one frustration I have. The other, and I still have a problem with it, even with the Fair Elections Now Act that we're going to talk about in just a moment, that is before Congress right now, in that right now, especially, we are in a time when so many Americans are hurting. We don't have enough money to feed our kids, to pay our mortgages, to pay our bills each month, yet We are being asked to contribute to politicians, not in order to raise the coffers so they can do good for the community they live in, but so they could buy advertising so they can run for elected office. There's just something so wrong there. When you look and see how much money, for instance, Barack Obama raised from small contributors on the internet and think how that money could have been better spent instead of buying network television time, I still have a fundamental problem with that.
Mm-hmm. You've raised two great issues, Nicole. Let me see if I can speak to both of them. On the first one, you mentioned the candidate for Congress down in Miami. You know, we've gotten to talk to a lot of candidates through this process, and this kills me every time, because what we hear time and again is, if you want to run for Congress or Senate or even state office, there are two questions you get asked, and they are simply, do you have it or can you raise it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you want to put your name in the hat. You've got some good ideas to contribute. You've got some supporters behind you. You go to the folks, the party infrastructure. You go to the folks in your district, and you get asked not, you don't get asked, what are your ideas? What's your experience? Do you have the integrity for office? But do you have the money or can you raise it?
And it's just it's so wrong. It is so wrong. But go ahead.
That's
I'm
right.
sorry.
We've got, you know, I don't need to tell you this, but the importance of the decisions before this government. You know, we elect 537 people in the House, the Senate, President and Vice President, just 537 people to try and address these enormous problems. And the criteria we have for choosing them is, do you have the money or can you raise it? And can you raise it from the special interests who try and influence policy at the end of the day? And the fact that the notion that the most, arguably the most important institution in our lives is led by folks who aren't chosen based on experience or qualifications, but really chosen on access to money, is just ludicrous in such an important institution as this. But to the second question, which is the amount of money being spent on campaigns and can that be used better in other ways, you know, it's amazing how much money there is, and I totally sympathize with people who take issue with the enormous sums of money. At the end of the day, it's going to cost some money if you're going to run for office in a country of 300 million people. And we want to bring that cost down for sure, but it's going to cost some money at the end of the day. And so I think the tough question we've got to ask is, if that money is required, at least some money is required, where should it be coming from?
Mm-hmm. And okay, you know what? We need to take a break here. Dan Weeks is with us, president of Americans for Campaign Reform. You can find them online at youstreet.org. We'll come back after the break and answer that question and then talk about the money that came from Wall Street and who it went to and try to put two and two together here. Oh, yeah. And two and two here equal economic failure. Nicole Sandler with you on Air America Radio, streaming live at airamerica.com. We'll be back with Dan Weeks in just a moment. Stick around.
Nicole Sandler.
You're listening to Nicole Sandler.
Nicole Sandler back with you on Air America, streaming live at airamerica.com. You are invited to participate at any time by calling in to 866-303-2270. Right now, we are speaking with Dan Weeks. He's the president of Americans for Campaign Reform about the need to get money out of the election process in this country, mostly because the money does not come, for the most part, from people like you and me. It comes from big business, from entities with a vested interest in having politicians on their side. And even if they claim that you know, they're contributing to everybody. If one entity gives a huge sum of money to a politician, you got to know they're going to expect something in return. That's just the way it works. Now, Americans for Campaign Reform has been working with a lot of other groups to get public financing or public funding of elections. And, before the break, Dan Weeks, we were interrupted by the need to, you know, take care of business. So you were making a point, though, on special interests and their influence over elected officials, I believe.
Yeah. Well, good to be back, Nicole. Let me just mention one statistic, which has always stuck with me as I've explored this issue. About 0.1% of the American people provide most of the money that funds campaigns. More than half the money funding campaigns comes from just 0.1% of the people. And unfortunately, that 0.1% doesn't look a lot like you or me, like most ordinary people. It's folks with an organized and vested interest in politics. It's lobbyists in Washington. It's others as part of special interest groups. And like you say, they're giving money not just because they believe in the guy, though I assume that they do, but because they've got an interest in the outcome. And what we need to do, we believe, is since it does take money to run for political office, we need to change where that money comes from. It's better that the public own the politicians than any special interest group. So the public funding proposal that we introduced just last week, sponsored in the Senate by Senators Dick Durbin and Arlen Specter, and in the House by Congressman John Larson of Connecticut and Walter Jones of North Carolina. It's a bipartisan bill, both House and Senate. That bill would provide a system of public financing of campaigns, which uses a combination of small donations, no more than $100 apiece, from ordinary citizens with matching public funds.
Okay, and this is called the Fair Elections Now Act, and it was introduced just last week, I believe.
That's right.
And so now what's the status of it? Where are we?
So the bill was introduced in both houses, and it's a big step forward to have bipartisan backing again in both houses. And actually, it's a bill that the president himself supported, was an original co-sponsor of when he served in the Senate. So there's strong support to begin with. These bills will go to committee, to the Senate Rules Committee, to the House Administration Committee, and we're confident that there's enough of a willingness on the part of members of Congress who hate raising the money, the time it takes away from doing the job they were elected to do, that these bills can move this year. It's not a new idea. In fact, it goes back to Teddy Roosevelt in 1904, but for the first time with a president who supports it and with good bipartisan leadership, we think these bills will move this year.
That would be awesome, and I think it's up to all of us to let our elected officials know that we support the Fair Elections Act, the Fair Elections Now Act, which again was introduced last week. We are speaking with Dan Weeks, president of Americans for Campaign Reform, on the website at UStreet. That's youstreet.org. You have a lot of facts and figures, and you know what I mentioned before the break was that I really believe. You know, and this has been a theme running through the show recently, that the inmates are running the asylum here. You sent me a fact sheet on Wall Street money and politics, and this is frightening, honestly. You have the top 10 Wall Street contributors in 2008, and it goes from Goldman Sachs at number one, contributing $4,287,000, down to Bank of America, contributing $1.8 million. And according to the facts that you put on here, the top 10 Senate recipients of this Wall Street money were either candidates for president or members of the Commerce, Banking, Finance, and Budget Committees or in Senate leadership. Now, that, to me, says it all.
Exactly. You know, we've got, everybody knows we're in the worst financial crisis that we've seen in generations, but we would submit to you that this wasn't an accident. If you go back, after the Great Depression, we passed the Glass-Steagall Act, which was meant to curb this kind of risk, where financial institutions to limit their exposure to risk. Well, what happened is during the 1990s, there was a lot of lobbying supported by about $2 billion in campaign contributions from the financial services industry, as well as money spent on lobbying. And those $2 billion spent contributed to key members of the key committees in charge of writing the rules, in charge of writing the financial regulation, helped produce an overturn of the Glass-Steagall Act in 1999. This was the Financial Services Modernization Act.
Mm-hmm.
And what that did was it allowed the kind of exposure to financial risk that we saw over the last few years produce this crisis. So it was really a failure of government regulation, a common sense reform that was overturned after working for generations, which helped sow the seeds of this financial crisis. And just to kind of put that in perspective, we're talking about $2 billion in total contributions and lobbying expenditures from Wall Street. That's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money.
Now, but when you compare that to the hundreds of billions in public taxpayer bailouts,
mm-hmm.
that's a damn good investment if you're Wall Street.
Well, of course, because they've got their own best interest in mind. Now, what's going to happen in the next election year or now? I mean, these companies that have, and on this list, it looks like most of them have gotten bailouts. I'm looking at the top 10 Wall Street contributors in 2008. Are they prohibited from making political contributions if they've taken money from the taxpayers?
You know, this is the kicker, Nicole. This system that we're talking about is totally legal. These groups and any other interest groups are free to contribute up to $2,400 per individual. What any smart group does, which has the money behind it, is bundles large numbers of these checks, hence the term bundling. So that's how these firms contribute millions of dollars to political campaigns and much more to the parties. So what they've done in the past is just the same thing they're continuing to do, both in terms of campaign contributions and lobbying. And it'll continue as long as the rules are the way they are today. That's why we've got to change them.
Wow. So even next year, when they go into full-on fundraising mode for the 2010 elections, these same Wall Street firms can contribute, can continue giving these insane amounts of contributions to the candidates they think they can get in their pocket.
And I guarantee you they will. They're doing so already.
Wow.
And it's not just financial, the financial side. We've seen for years we've had no coherent national energy policy. And the price of that, we well know, is enormous in terms of the environmental risk of global warming, catastrophes like Hurricane Katrina, which are contributed to by global warming, the evidence suggests. And it's not, once again, it's not because we don't have good ideas on how to a cap or trade system or other solutions to start addressing global warming. They've been tried in other countries. They're working. We've got the ideas, and we've got people who want to do the right thing. It's just a system that won't allow those ideas to take hold.
Okay. Well, you know, Dan Weeks, president of Americans for Campaign Reform, is with us here on Air America Radio. All right. So we do this here in the United States. We, you know, our healthcare system is ridiculously broken as well, where we're probably the only civilized nation in the world that people can actually go broke because they get sick and become destitute because they spent all their money on healthcare. Do other countries finance their elections like this? What's it like in democracies around the world?
Great question. You know, I'm afraid we're pretty much alone in the way we do it.
With this too, huh? Hmm.
That's right. The standard practice across other democracies is either partial or full public financing. They recognize that it does cost money to do politics, to run political campaigns. Fortunately, it costs less because there's access to free media time, to free airtime, which is something we're also working on. But it does cost money, so they've made the decision that we hope this country will make, that the public has got to shoulder that burden in order to be sure that the public owns the politicians. So public funding is the standard practice across other democracies.
Wow. And is public funding in effect anywhere in the U.S.? Are there any states that have experimented with this?
Glad you ask. We've had some really exciting results out of a handful of states in the last few years. The first two to take up public funding, so-called clean elections laws, for all state elections were Arizona and Maine. Connecticut just joined them a couple of years ago. And to just summarize kind of what we've seen in those states, number one, the systems are totally embraced by candidates from both parties. Across those states, about three-quarters of candidates are choosing to give up the private money, stop the fundraising chase, and take public funds in return for limiting private money and taking only a limited amount of funds. So the candidates are embracing this, both Republicans, Democrats, Independents. Equally exciting, or even more so, is the kinds of candidates who are coming forward to run for public office. We've seen a real change. The number of women and minority candidates who are entering the process who couldn't enter before but had the ideas and, you know, there was every reason they should be in politics. Those candidates are able to come forward under this system, get enough money with public support, and run serious campaigns. And then finally, the results in those states in terms of the policies that are addressed are different. And to give you one example that I think really kind of sets this in clear relief, the first governor elected with public funding was Governor Napolitano of Arizona, now the Homeland Security director.
Right.
And one of the important initiatives that she supported as governor was a state prescription drug benefit program for recipients of public health insurance. You might recall that when this was tried in Congress, the Medicare Part D bill a couple of years ago, it resulted in hundreds of billions of dollars in essentially taxpayer gifts to the pharmaceutical companies because the government gave up its right to negotiate for lower prices as it does under Veterans Affairs.
Right.
An enormous,
which is criminal, but yeah, topic for another day, yeah.
But the exciting thing was that in Arizona, they passed a similar bill, same purpose, a public benefit in terms of prescription drugs for low-income healthcare recipients. But the critical difference was the state retained its right to negotiate for better prices, as any bulk buyer would do. And what Governor Napolitano at the time said is that that bill would not have been possible without this kind of reform, because it meant that lawmakers were not beholden to the pharmaceutical lobby. They could make a decision based on the merits of the case.
Okay, well, that's encouraging. I do have another question about how, if the Fair Elections Now Act passes, what this will do to the lobbyists, how this impacts them. And I'm also going to just run by you my silly idea, but how, in a perfect world, how I would like to see elections take place.
All right.
We have to take one more break. We'll be back in a moment with Dan Weeks, President of Americans for Campaign Reform. During the commercials, if you want to check out their website, it's youstreet.org, youstreet.org. If you want to chime in with a comment or a question, number is 866-303-2270. I'm Nicole Sandler of RadioOrNot.com here on Air America, streaming live at AirAmerica.com. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Nicole Sandler.
Nicole Sandler.
Give us a call at 866-303-2270.
Back with Dan Weeks, President of Americans for Campaign Reform. I'm Nicole Sandler here at Air America, streaming live at airamerica.com, talking about the need to get money, big money, especially out of the equation when it comes to our election system here. So, Dan, I told you before the break, I'm going to give you my idea. Now, again, this comes from someone who has never run for office, wouldn't for a number of reasons, but probably chief among them is the fact that I don't like asking people for money, no matter what. That's just not what I like to do. But in a perfect world, this is what I would like to see happen. First of all, we've got, cable television with a pretty good penetration throughout the country. We've got all these useless channels. I say every cable system out there should be required to have one election channel on which it would be a nonstop loop of every candidate running for office with their program. Now, these programs, I believe, we fund public broadcasting. So I think each candidate who makes the cut, and I'll get to that in a second, should be able to go to their local public broadcasting station and work within a template that's agreed on to produce their sort of infomercial that would run on this election channel. On the same time, there should be an election channel website that, again, has every qualified candidate up there and their program running. Along with that, a web template that it's the same for every one of them that they all have to complete that gives their entire platform, everything, their stance on every issue where they have to answer the questions that we want answered. All right. Then all this information can also be printed out and available at every library, at every elected official's office, at every public school in the district, so that the information is there for the people who want to do their homework and find out who's running for office. And in order to qualify, you need to jump through some hoops and maybe getting a good amount of signatures on a petition to qualify you for this. That way, the money's totally out of it. I understand things cost money, but, you know, maybe that's what the $3 we all can check the box on our tax returns can go to fund these things. What do you think of that?
You know, I like it, Nicole. I think you're onto something, definitely the right kind of approach, which is we want to make it more accessible, more affordable for people to run. And actually, the free airtime piece, which you talk about, which I think is an important piece of your proposal, is also a part of the Durbin-Specter bill that we just introduced, the Fair Elections Now Act. Candidates who qualify would get access vouchers starting at $100,000 to get on TV and communicate with the public. So I think that's definitely the direction we want to be going in. You know, one of the challenges, I think, to implement an idea like that, and this won't surprise a lot of your listeners, I'm sure, but it kind of frames the bigger challenge we have, which is the Association of Broadcasters is highly opposed to this kind of regulation. You know, it's true the public.
Well, of course they are, because it's going to take money out of their pockets. And every time I come up, you know, and I've
right.
put this theory, this idea out there before. And I remember one time I was doing mornings here in Miami, the general manager of the cluster of radio stations was standing outside my studio listening to me, and he came in. He's like, you know, that would take money out of the pockets of the broadcasters. And it's like, yeah, I know, but the public owns the airwaves. Come on, this is
I think
in the public interest.
You're totally right. The truth is, in our current system, the broadcasters have a whole lot of political clout, and they've been successful at stopping these kinds of efforts in the past.
Yeah, well, the bulk of the money that the politicians have to raise to run for office goes to pay for airtime. There's something inherently wrong there.
I couldn't agree with you more. Just to make one point, though, about the cost, you know, it's not free. It will mm-hmm. cost money to fund campaigns, and we want to bring those costs down. But I think it's helpful to compare the amount it would cost, the just $6 per citizen per year, with the amount of money I would argue that we're wasting under the current system today. By the most conservative measures, it's tens of billions of dollars that go in the form of earmarks and pork barrel spending to folks who are lobbying for that money and who wouldn't have that kind of a voice under a reform system.
I gotcha. Dan Weeks, president of Americans for Campaign Reform. Check out their website, ustreet.org, youstreet.org. It's linked to from my blog at radioornot.com. And support the Fair Elections Now Act, which is currently before Congress. Dan, thank you so much. We'll be in touch again. I appreciate it. All right, in the next hour, President Obama wrapping up his excellent European adventure. We'll talk with an American living in Paris and find out how it went. Coming up on Air America. We'll be right back.
Nicole Sandler.
You're listening to Nicole Sandler on Air America Radio.